Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello, hello everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I am Golden Hawk indeed. It is Thursday night, and it is the 13th. You know, the way this show is going to unfold, Thursday the 13th might as well be Friday the 13th. I mean, there are just certain things about certain subtleties in life that, you know, you just got to look and kind of chuckle about. So, first of all, allow me to introduce my delightful and lovely co-host for this evening, Janine Kimmel. Welcome,
hello.
Janine.
Hello, hello, everybody. Hi.
Yeah, I'm really, really stoked that Janine is with me tonight because, oh boy, there's a lot going on in Goldie's life. And truth be told, the truth needs to be told. This is something that I think what I'm going to do is I just want to share with everybody the kind of the events leading up to it, and then we can kind of discuss how everything unfolded today.
Hey, can I say something?
Of course, of course.
Oh, okay. So you know how I feel when I was doing a lot of work with Angela Sarian and Vision Quest, and there were times when it was a real act of courage to get up into the center of the room and speak your truth without blame or judgment, and it was transforming, and it was by being witnessed. It was life-changing, and I think that, you know, I really honor that, and I've done this, and it's great. You know, it takes courage and vulnerability and coming forward, and so, and I have no idea how it will play out, but I'm just saying that I honor that, and I am honored to be witness and stand by you, and yeah, so I think that this is great role modeling and inviting other people to always come forward, speak their truth without blame or judgment, and be courageous. So I just wanted to say that, and it reminded me of how you come into the center of a room and be witnessed.
You rock, Janine. See, this is why you're my partner now, because your eloquence and your ability to really understand, you know, truly from all sides of the picture,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is just exquisite.
You
know, yeah, I'm the bull in the china shop. Okay, I've arrived, and Goldie is just going to just. I really just want to let everybody know that. I think it's pretty obvious to most of you who I am on the air and who I am in life. I don't have really a personality that I bring on the air. I mean, I'm not saying that I walk around to everybody going hello. but, it, you know, anybody who's had the experience of speaking with me on the phone, you know, who I am on the air is who I am. And, you know, me and Janine spoke about this a few weeks ago on the Mystical Mother Earth show that, you know, you bring things up on the air, it definitely creates a potency for that experience to come to fruition. You know, if I'm owning something on the air, and there's pieces of that ownership that are still, quote-unquote, in the shadows, in other words, parts of myself that isn't transparent, it's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what tonight's show is about. I have been extremely transparent about the shadow sides of my life, from drug addiction to sexual abuse and promiscuity, you know, pretty much to everything. I mean, you know, everything shy of, you know, making myself a total soap opera that, you know, it's not just about, you know, revealing, you know, the shit side of Goldie. But it is about, you know, exactly what Jeanine was saying. It's about owning it. I am so bent on owning my shadows because I do not want my shadows to own me. Now, the one place that I have definitely trepidation about this is my financial experiences. And, you know, I don't really talk a lot about my financial experiences, A, because there's not a whole lot to talk about. I don't make, quote-unquote, a whole lot of money. I have created my life that I don't need a whole lot of money to sustain myself. But when I first came into radio, it was introduced to me that, you know, the media is a place to make tremendous amounts of money. You know, gosh, you know, you look at Oprah, just the media in general, movie stars and Howard Stern, you know, and I get that I'm picking, you know, the cream of the crop out of this, but the truth is, it was dangled in front of me, and Goldie took the bait. So, this show is about a $20,000 investment that I made. And I made a $20,000 investment to a gentleman named Greg Norman. Now, I have, if you're in the chat room, I posted the link. It's www.john-joseph-kennedy.com/other.html. I want to read, before I go on, I want to read a paragraph from this page is called John Joseph Kennedy, The Crimes of John Joseph Kennedy. So here, let me read this. In 2006, Greg Norman, owner of Universal Radio, fell hook, line, and sinker for the Kennedy con and supported John Joseph Kennedy on his local and internet radio programs. In addition, Greg sponsored a huge party in order to find financing for his political campaigns and the Whale Magic Project, flying in all his friends and contacts from all over the United States. It was Wilmington all over again. Greg took a beating financial over John Joseph Kennedy. He was ostracized by his friends and community for all the money that was lost, and he eventually lost his home, his company, his radio station, Universal 7, and his friends, all due to his association with John Joseph Kennedy. And then there's an interview right under the link. And the reason why I read that is because I was one of those people that invested in Greg Norman. Now, what's really pertinent to this story is I didn't invest my money in Greg Norman. I called my friends and asked my friends to invest in me, and then I took their money and invested them in Greg Norman. Now, however you want to slice this, the bottom line is it was a total of $20,000. When it became clear to me that Greg was not going, the investment package was essentially Greg said, whatever money I gave him, he would pay me back 10 times the amount. What I promised my investors was 5 times the amount. So my investors would get back, $20,000 was going to be, for me, it would equal $200,000 in return, $100,000 would go to my investors, and I would keep $100,000. Now, I don't remember the day, but it was about 2 years ago, I was at a nanny gig, and I was on the phone with Greg, and, you know, it essentially he came out and said, I'm not going to pay you any of the money back. And, you know, he was very much, I know this now more today, but he was very much, you know, he was in a lot of fear. He was under a lot of pressure. you know, and I was like, well, what do you mean? And it was just a matter of, he didn't explain what he meant in the sense of, he didn't explain any of this John Joseph Kennedy stuff to me. It was just a matter of, things didn't work out, I can't pay you back. So, of course, my initial reaction was, I was furious. So, after that phone call, in all honesty, it took me about 2 months. But what I did, under the guidance of Phil Imbrogno and Rosemary Guiley, who were, you know, who still are good friends of mine, I was having Thanksgiving dinner with them, and I told them the situation. And they were like, you've got to tell your investors about this. And, you know, hands down, I was scared to tell my investors that I screwed up. And I don't have, you know, at the moment, any way of getting their money back. And what was interesting, though, with Phil, who was, I call Phil Papa Bear, you know, he was just like, it really doesn't matter if you can pay it back or not. You got to own this situation. You've got to own that, you know, who you invested in, you know, shit the bed. And I was like, you know, when he said it to me, it just really just sunk right in as a sword carrier. And I was like, and that's the truth. So I sent an email. I admit it. I was a little chicken shit. I sent an email to all of my investors essentially stating that my intention was absolutely still to pay them back, that they had invested in me, and I was a good investment. I had invested in Greg, and that turned out to be the poor investment. Now, to the blessings that be, my five investors, who to this day are still friends with me, have, you know, they, nobody pressures me for the money. It is absolutely still my intention to pay my investors back, and I really want to do it Oprah style, you know, like on a cruise or, you know, in a penthouse, you know, in downtown New York City. And, you know, whatever's going to happen to me for the rest of my life, that you know, anytime I run into a significant amount of money, which is not, I believe that will happen to me in this lifetime, you know, right off the top, the investors will get paid. Now, the reason why I wanted to talk about the show is, about a week ago, this is when all of a sudden my soul is like, look up Greg Norman, Google Greg Norman, and it's like, why? You know, I mean, it's so funny, but I'm really at a point now. This is the same type of message I got when my soul told me to get up out of bed and get on the computer and lift the shade the day I watched my car get totaled. I don't question things anymore. You just do it. You know, your soul guides you, and you do it. Now, what's so interesting is I called Janine afterwards because until last week, and I found this webpage of John Joseph Kennedy. And yes, John Joseph Kennedy, just so everybody knows, he is of the Kennedy family, you know, the quote-unquote Kennedys. I remember John Joseph Kennedy being, you know, talked about at Universal 7. I remember him being a part of everything that was going on. I just didn't know that that's where all the, I didn't realize that's where, you know, what Greg was asking me for the money for, where that was going. I had no idea. Because one of the things that I really learned quickly from all of this was I really had given my power completely away to Greg. Because, I mean, Greg used to say to me all the time, if you had to raise money, how much money could you raise? And, I mean, when I first met Greg, I would be like, I don't know, 700 bucks? You know, 800 maybe on a good day? You know, on a really, really good day, maybe 1,000. And I'll tell you, when I was making phone calls to my friends going, hey, got $1,000 and here's, you know, I was just, I couldn't believe what I was doing. And, you know, and the people were just, they were just handing me money. They were writing me checks. Now, granted, you know, this was all done on the premise that they're going to get five times their money back. And there's something very interesting about the concept of money and making it easy. And I really want to stress this, that I believe that there are ways in life that money does come easy. One is if you're in your passion, because effort when you're in your passion is easy. You know, I don't mind putting in effort when I'm with those kids, because I love being with kids. So bring it, you know, especially the kids that I've literally grown up with. Oh, my God, those are my kids. You know, I'm amazed I get paid to make that. You know, I'm amazed I get paid to be with them. That just is like, okay, that's a dream come true. But this whole idea of, you know, all of my investors, we all got caught up in big numbers, you know, basically, you know, for no effort returning big numbers. I don't know how many people remember the Ponzi schemes.
Yeah.
Right? This is basically, you know, a Jewish financier in New York City did it for billions. I mean, literally billions of dollars, based on the same premise that, you know, taking people's money, promising them huge returns, and a lot of people went for it. A lot of people went for it. So this is not about making excuses. If I wanted to make excuses, clearly I didn't have to do the radio show. What I really want to bring up, and I want, you know, Janine to definitely, you know, share in her wisdom and whatever, you know, you're going to share with this, is as soon as I recognized that this was going south, and, you know, with the nudging, of course, of Phil and Rosemary, I owned it. You know, I and to this day, I still own it. You know, I really believe that when we own our failures in life, it is not easy to own a failure. Mm-hmm. Not when you're playing with other people's things, whether it's their heart or their wallets. I mean, when you're playing with anything of other people's, it's an unbelievable amount of pressure to produce. It really is. But the truth is, if you run from your truth, I mean, I failed, and I just learned last week that Greg failed for the same exact reason that I failed. He just invested in someone poorly. And Greg never owned it. Greg went underground. I mean, literally underground, because, you know, when he told me he wasn't going to pay, I can understand, you know, not saying it maybe that day, but he could have said, listen, you know, I invested in John Joseph Kennedy. He was a bust. Let's find another way to do this, because I believed in Greg. Greg had a charisma that was just off the hook. And the two of us together had manifested things like, you know, I had an investor from Greenwich, Connecticut, which, by the way, there are like 8 billionaires that live in Greenwich, Connecticut, we had an investor that was willing to write an $85,000 check if we could show, you know, a business plan for the radio show. But he liked our positive attitudes and what we were providing at Universal 7. And Greg panicked. And instead of asking for help, for somebody to help write the business plan, Greg wrote it himself. The guy looked at it and went, it looked like a kindergarten person wrote it, you know, because that wasn't Greg's strong suit. Me and Greg both, our strong suit wasn't about, quote-unquote, putting these the legal papers and the things together, but we have a charisma, both of us, that I really believe is part of the, you know, we're part of the visionaries. We can help create the situation, but, you know, we're a part of, you know, a creation. We also need people that are, you know, are good with numbers, and we also need people that have some organizational skills. And I think when everybody works together, that's the community. That's how you can all get together and win. But the thing was, Greg left. I mean, Greg literally, after that phone call, I have never heard from Greg again. And come to find out, shucks, I don't know, about 6 months ago, I mean, he literally left. He doesn't live. He I don't know where he is. He is off the map, and no one knows where he is. And personally, I find that to be a real shame, because it is not easy owning the failure. But what I have genuinely learned, and it's why I'm speaking tonight, and George Kavassalis has had something to do with this as well, is you can still have integrity if you choose, if you back something or you make an investment in something, and it doesn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out. That doesn't mean you don't have integrity. It just means, you know, I followed a carrot that was wrong. You know, I mean, it just wasn't going to come to fruition. And I think this is a powerful, powerful point for everybody right now because, you know, initially I thought I was betrayed by Greg, and that just flipped me out because, you know, we had become very close. I really freaked out by that. And I know what it's like to have a boyfriend betray me in the sense of, you know, all right, you're not my girlfriend anymore. I'm going with this woman. But me and Greg were never romantic or sexual. We were always just business, but very intimate in our discussions, in our soulmates. I mean, he introduced me to radio. That alone is like one of the greatest gifts anybody's ever given me. And so when this all went down, like I said, it went down that he shared it with me, and then he just cut his ties and split. Just was a whack job to me. It just whacked me out. And so what I'm here to tell everybody is, is that I don't believe there's any mistake that you can't recover from. But I think the biggest mistake people make after they choose something that is maybe, you know, not exactly the highest choice is they bury themselves in shame. And shame is just insidious. I mean, it is insidious. Because I don't normally talk about my finances. Truth be told, there's not a whole lot to talk about. but this needed to be talked about. And, well, let me take a breath. And Janine, join in, babe.
yeah. I think first of all, it's the role modeling of, you know, coming up front and sharing something that you obviously have been, you know, I don't even know if you know you were kind of carrying this in a way that felt, reluctant to reveal it, or had you never thought about revealing it with your audience or with me or with people?
Well, you know, in all honesty, I'm going to say this kind of, you know, encryptically, but I sold drugs for 12 years. I've nannied for 20 years. I cleaned houses for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, take a wild guess without, you know, anybody shouting out anything. How many times do you think I've filled out a tax return?
Well, no, why I'm saying this is because...
The reason why I say that is there's a lot about me financially.
Yeah.
I keep to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just is, you know, it's like, well, you know, I need to look at that because... Hey, my whole goal is to go fifth dimensional, and, you know, hell be damned that my financial situation of anything, whether it's a bad investment or filling out a tax return, is going to keep me from the frequency that I want to be at. So that's...
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I feel.
This is a whole subject for me.
Yeah, I feel that the first of all, the timing is so interesting to me because... things come up with you and they surface as kind of they need to be, you know, talked about.
Yeah.
I think
yes.
You're very courageous. Although to me, this is like, you know, it's not a big mistake. It's just a mistake or a thing where you go, hey, you know, boy, I could have looked at this differently. And, now it looks like it's not going to work out, and you know, I'm good for the money, but so yeah, the weight that comes with it, or the shame that comes with it, it's almost like when someone else is listening to the story, they go, oh, it's not that bad, you know what I mean? It's
right.
It really...
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I guess from my personal experience, you know, my father had certain coin phrases for me, mm-hmm. growing up, and one of them was, make sure your word is gold.
Yeah, and I think that's so fun, you know, Golden Hawk and...
This is when I was still Cindy Pressman. You know, this is not Golden Hawk, but it is something that clearly is...
But the golden world to me is the world, you know, the revealed, the freer world, that you're not carrying anything.
I
think one of the... From what I see in the theme of the radio shows, both of them are... a sharing, a role modeling, a don't be afraid to be yourself and tell your truth. We're all in this together, you know.
Right.
I think it's just part of life, and it's great to just share it with people and lighten the load, so to speak. If there was a load, which there was a bit of a load, but it's not a really big one, you know.
I wouldn't call it not a big one. I see. For me, I mean,
okay, but
$20,000, that's big for me.
Okay, because, you know, listening to it, I just hear it and I go, yeah, and wouldn't it have been great for Greg if he just owned it and went, wow, did I screw up? And, you know, it would have been so different. And I guess...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because
so
I'm telling
you,
he was such a creative, I mean, I don't... He is a creative person, so... You know, he put all his eggs into John Joseph Kennedy.
Yeah.
And then it's like when that fell through, like he didn't believe in himself that he could create it again. And it's like, and initially I didn't either. Hence, I wasn't exactly running to my investors going, oh, don't sweat this, I will come up with something else. I mean, I literally went, I'm sunk. I mean, I took the same hit he took, which is that I gave Greg my power, and without, and, you know, that is definitely part of the journey, was that I don't think I would ever make that money if it wasn't about me owning my own power.
Yes, that's the beautiful thing about the timing here, because I think that, you know, as we progress along and you know, it wasn't too long ago that, and who would have predicted, because these things are unpredictable, but they're great when they show up, because it wasn't too long ago that you made the piece of the initiation art called Infinite Trust.
Yes.
And, you know, in my opinion about how that art works is that it does evoke what needs to be revealed, what hasn't been, you know, talked about, say, quote, in the circle among, and be witnessed by others, will and needs to be. And you sensed it, because when you spoke to me about a week ago about this, there was this real need and this, you know, you knew you wanted to talk about this. This was something important, and I think it has to do with the infinite trust issue and, you know, the authenticity issue that you've been speaking about over the last months, which I told you about, you know, your father's cell phone and how you wanted to get it back to him because that was the authentic.
Right.
Yeah, and I just think this is what's coming up, and you know, it's funny because I'm kind of going over myself and tracking myself, and it's almost like I'm running through myself and going, hey, is there anything, like, for me, like, you know, because I don't know if anyone else in the audience is doing that, but, like, it's almost like if I was, a, you know, being scanned by something, by myself, I'd be going, hey, do I have anything like that that I'm feeling, that I haven't revealed yet to myself or, you know, spoken about that's keeping me back? That's kind of, because I think that's a really important energy to notice and say, you know, what's still keeping me from that freedom, that liberation, that I'm not carrying anything that I'm shameful for or that I think was a mistake, you know, because, God, I mean, really, for me to listen, I'm listening to the story and, you know, I've lived a life and I'm going, it's not so bad. and I'm glad you're coming forward in that. I think it's just more of the transformation, the lightening of the load, the really embracing of the infinite trust. It's sort of perfect timing, because what I've noticed with you in the last month since we started the Mystical Mother Earth Show is that there's a real kind of current and synchronistic, you know, what needs to be revealed will, and what needs to be talked about will, and there's a sharing. Yeah. And then other people in the audience are really getting something from it as well. And that's the beautiful timing. It's not, it's your timing, but it's my timing, and it's their timing.
Right.
And, you know, who knows how you're affecting this whole sort of, like, if I were to look at this and see it like almost like fishing line when it knots up, you know, like, you know, if you're fishing and
right.
you get this knot in the line. Well,
okay.
If this is a bit of a knot in the line for like people, like even Greg or other people, somehow I think you're affecting that. You're cleaning up. You're not just cleaning up for you, but you might be affecting the entire situation, which is really good. Like, I always
yeah.
think that when someone
Thank
does
the,
when someone does their work, they're actually activating and doing work for the environment and those that are involved. And then, you know, and I think, and then obviously me or anyone listening might be scanning themselves going, well, what, wait, do I have anything like that? You know, I mean,
yeah.
because I do.
Yeah.
I think that
yeah.
for me, that's what this is about. I mean, I know it's personal for you, but it's also evoking.
But it's public as well. I mean,
yeah.
it's clear we're in a space and time where betrayal, whether it's emotional,
yeah.
financial, is rampant. I mean, because, I mean, even the betrayal of belief systems is going. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're starting to recognize, you know, people who trusted governments and, you know, everything. There's such a, there's like a global betrayal going on. And
yeah, but you
know.
See, that's so interesting because, like, I keep, when I'm listening to you, I'm like, how am I feeling when you're saying this stuff? And, you know, I know that betrayal in anyone's life, be it money or, you know, in intimacy or, you know, privacy or whatever it could possibly be. I know that when the betrayal literally is revealed to the person, it is a shock to the system. I mean, it does, you know, you are traumatized. I mean, because I know from, you know, my own experiences of betrayal, you feel shocked. And then you kind of
yeah.
almost takes a while to, you know, kind of come out of it and, you know, assess
yeah.
how am I, you know, and
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
it does rock your boat, so to speak, or
it does,
you know,
no,
it may
absolutely.
Shake your world and you know, and maybe this is where the infinite trust comes back, because it does kind of do something to the trust of yourself with maybe people in the world and then yourself. And so that's a key subject. But then, okay, so this belief system thing, where what it does, though, because betrayal is the biggest teacher we ever have. And, I'm not saying this to make it light or anything, but usually they push us to another place when you look at it from where you are now. Like, I'll look at myself now and go, well, if I hadn't gone through those things, I wouldn't be where I am today. So
Absolutely. It
kicked my ass, but I like where I am. So,
yeah.
you know, these
yeah,
are great.
Right on. Right
betrayal
on. Absolutely.
Is a great, it's a great teacher. And, you know, even in the Bible, I mean, or and I'm not a big Bible person, but the great stories, or if you look at any stories that, you know, it's betrayal is the big one. And so it's
yeah.
the big teacher for all of us. And
yes.
And we can
yes.
all, you know, we don't want to say thank you, betrayer. But in a way, you know, sometimes we go.
Well, once you get the gift, you do, you know, because I'll be honest with you. I mean,
yeah.
when my soul brought me to this webpage, you know, I was really like, whoa. I mean, I just can't tell you how, I mean, I had by my own work and my own choice forgiven Greg. Simply because I've done the revenge game. I did the revenge game in my 20s. And I held revenge for a woman for 4 years. And I am talking, I eat, I breathed, I slept revenge on this woman. And it was all encompassing. It just literally consumed my life. And it taught me enough when I was just from sheer exhaustion when I let it go. I knew as soon as I hung up the phone with Greg that night, I was like, okay, you're allowed to be pissed, you know, for, you know, a time. I didn't give myself, you know, you got 24 hours. You're allowed to be pissed for a time, but then you're going to work on letting this go. Because, you know, I realize now the best revenge, and this is in my humble opinion for everybody, the best revenge you can give anybody who betrays you is to live a glorious life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boy, you want to piss somebody off who's tried to screw you? Live a great life. So, and once I was strong enough to confront my investors, in all honesty, I mean, two of my investors went, literally, don't worry about it. You don't even owe us anything. Which I was like, oh, okay. And everybody else, you know, literally was like, okay, so something else will come up. Because my whole life I have been around large sums of money. You know what I mean? Whether it was selling drugs or not. It's like I just know that this kind of thing is, it's a part of my experience. Being around large sums of money is not something, you know, I've never experienced. So it was always about, okay, so something else will come from this. But what was kind of in front of me at the moment was, well, you know, can you forgive this? And I did forgive it, but when I read the website, it was like, oh, my God, Greg is a victim just like, I mean, it brought it to a new level because I finally saw that, wow, why didn't Greg own it? Because it was almost like I got to see my polar opposite of somebody who, when you don't own it, he lost everything.
And yeah, like, that's really rough.
Now, that was his choice to do. That was John Joseph Kennedy didn't take that from him. Greg gave that away.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion. And you don't have to, you know, it was just another piece of such a startling experience in my life that once I got that, you know, it's so funny because once I saw that he was a victim, all of a sudden I was ready to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there was some kind of puzzle pieces that fell into place for you or something dropped in and then.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because to me, there was a choice there for him. And unfortunately, you know, I for his sake, I would have loved for him to take another choice, which would be to own it and go, oh, I feel awful, but this is what happened. And, you know, people surprise you how understanding they are when you come forward and go, yeah, boy, I made a mistake.
Exactly.
I feel really awful, you know, and they're like, oh, God, who hasn't, you know, by the way.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Yeah,
totally.
And What it's funny because when you were just talking, I got this image of that you said, and then I knew I needed to talk about it or something. But I got this image that, like, I saw these scales, you know, like how you weigh things, and like all of a sudden the two scales started evening out, and there was a better balance. Like, like maybe the scales were off a little, or the, you know, and you're readjusting and you're rebalancing, and I think I don't have – the funny thing is I may not have all the answers, but I don't have any doubt about why this has come up and why this is important to talk about. Like, you know, yeah, I just don't. I feel that there's an intuitiveness going on about what gets revealed when and why it's important. And I think it's for you, but it's for everyone.
I agree.
And, yeah, and then, you know, it's kind of unblocking something, like, because...
Yes.
Because all the great energy that comes from this kind of sharing and this kind of, you know, something great can come from that. It's unblocked. It's and whenever, you know, this may sound corny, but whenever you tell me, hey, you know who wrote us and they said, you know, we really made sense and we were touching on some things that were important to them, I mean, to me, it's so valuable. I was like, wow, that's incredible, you know. And so, I mean, you know, money's money, and but then there's the value.
I know
money is a very important part of this third dimension and paying bills, and who doesn't, you know, yeah, it's all, I understand all that, but like, you know,
yep.
It's complex, and and I just feel like there's a liberation that occurs, and a liberation that has occurred by you just coming forward and not even knowing how it would play out for you, but knowing you wanted to speak, and then you speak, and something gets righted to me. It's like the scales get rebalanced.
Yeah.
That's how it
yeah.
feels to me. The scale gets rebalanced. Yeah. So
I mean, audience, do you not love Janine? How do you not love her? I mean that because all I knew when this happened was I called Janine and went, "You've got to be the one to interview me."
Yeah, and I was like, okay, well let me think about, because you know you said betrayal, and I was like, okay, wait, where am I? Let me say, you know, how does this register in my body? And
yeah,
I mean, remember I said I got to feel it out. I got to let you know, and then I said, well, you may be in a very different place in a week, and you go, yeah, and you may be in a very different place in a week. And you know,
yeah,
and
I'll be
I
honest with you, it really did, I didn't realize how much betrayal actually is a trigger word.
Yeah.
Until I shared with you, I was, because, you know, what the audience doesn't know is when I shared it with Janine, I mean, in all honesty, I just expected her to say, of course I'll do this interview with you. You know, I mean,
yeah,
Janine,
and then I said, let me think about it.
And it was the first time she had said, you know, not yes to me. And I went, I mean, literally, I was like, I went, huh? What? Huh? And I was like, listen, you don't have to talk about your skeletons.
No,
I'm just going to talk about mine.
But you know, it's really good because if in fact, you know, there was a part of me that was, you know, kind of stepping back and going, okay, how do I feel about this? I think that's also an important piece to share with the audience because...
Please, of course.
Well, no, because yes. I think that, you know, you do want to think about something and you know, before you stand behind something, you know, and that's a great lesson because even with, you know, now, like if I said, you know, to someone, hey, you know, I want to invest in something, you'd be thinking harder about, oh, how do I... You know, how do I feel about this? You know, maybe not go right.
Well, you know what's so funny that, okay, listen, I got it because I really believe, because I remember saying after this whole experience, I will never do this again. But what's interesting about that is I think on some level I was also closing down the ability for anybody to invest in me again.
Right, right.
Now,
in any,
I didn't know that when I said that, though.
In,
I was simply
in,
like, I am not taking anybody else's money. Holy shit. I failed.
But see, and also though, it, not only investing in money, but in just investing in you. And that's an important piece, you know. And, you know, and I kind of like, I would even say to myself, well, you know, because I could be someone, say I'm someone who, would be quick to say yes, it's even good practice to go, let me think about it, because that's good practice, you know?
Yeah,
it
right
is.
On, babe. Right on. Right on. Right on. Serious. I mean, because it would just shock me because everything spontaneously we have done, you have said yes.
But the thing was, is, you know, I could tell that...
this was big.
You know, I wanted to sit right with it. Like it was like, let me feel this.
Yeah, for good reason. Absolutely. Because if you weren't right with this, it could potentially, this whole dialogue could go very south very quickly. Clearly.
Yeah, but you know, that's the thing. Cause, but then, you know, the minute I said that, which is probably me giving myself permission for choice.
Mm-hmm.
The minute I said that, it was like, yeah, this feels good now. You know, it was almost like I needed to give myself choice. And then once I did that, I was like, okay, but I gave myself room to sort of feel. And yeah, I mean, you know, that's all, I can't even explain that, but that's all like sensory stuff, you know. And
well, that's just honesty. That's the honesty,
yeah,
to say, listen, I, you know, there's certain pools I'm jumping into and certain pools I want to think about, because
yeah.
I mean, I respect your processing. I mean, part of the reason why it had to be you is because I respect your processing, because I get it. I mean, on many levels, I'm happy to jump in and, you know, I often joke with my friends and go, I'll jump into a swimming pool and then in mid-jump turn my head and go, is there any water in here? You know, I mean, that's just the way I operate.
Yeah.
But what I'm actually getting tonight, and I didn't even know it, is I have unlocked the ability for others to invest in me as well.
See,
I didn't even know I had that under lock and key.
Yeah, I get that too.
But, yeah, and I believe that, because, like, I mean, one of the things, this is what Janine, and I'm telling you, I don't, get a hold of Janine. If you've got stuff you need to process, she's an excellent listener, and she just has an energy. If you're genuinely seeking flow, Janine can help you unblock your flow. And it's not that she's not going to pull your boulders out. She's just going to help you become aware where the boulders are. And then she's going to introduce things like make a piece of art and initiate yourself. I mean, it's just amazing. And I say that with all sincerity.
Thank you.
Because the fact that my soul got, you know, pulled this whole thing up is really something that says to me, perhaps something's in the making for me to be invested in again, which inevitably is going to lead to my investors getting paid. But I have to block the energy. If I have a belief system in me, which I remember declaring, you know, the vow. Everybody think about the vows you make when you're pissed off, when you're hurt, when you're betrayed. Because the vows that you're making, if you think, you know, you might be making it, quote unquote, to protect yourself at the time. But as your feelings shift and move, those vows can become prison bars.
Yeah, I think this is a great point. This is a great point because I do believe that I had no, you know, I trust this, but I think that's where this is going. That there's
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And especially, like, I mean, I'm not trying to be redundant here, but because I don't think about Greg Norman every day. What the hell brought me to his way? It was like that. It was just out of the blue,
out of the
clear blue sky.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've said this to people, and people have said it to me, and it is remarkable. But sometimes people say, "Oh, I heard that?" You know, it's like when you're ready for information, the information comes to you. Like,
right on.
And then, I don't know, it's like game on.
Well,
you know,
it's a process.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because, and that's the, see, that, here again, I'm going to, you know, this isn't like, oh, I really know, what you know, all the answers, but there's something about that I trust that when you need the information comes and the time is right, and then, you know, when you're in process, like, and dedicated like you are, and have been for years, there's just this, you know, you may have had vows that kept you back, but you have contracts that you definitely are keeping, which is, you know, you are dedicated. And this is what happens. This is, you know, and it is funny that you made that a piece of initiation art like 2 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago, and stuff comes up, and it's beautiful because it's like this, it's like you're in collaboration with like the creative forces and the information that needed to come to you in order to clear this.
Yeah.
And then it's a rebalancing, and then you move on, and you move on with much more ease now.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, you know, another interesting thing happened to me today, which is I broker a radio show. And what that essentially means is I helped a guy get settled into the radio station that I used
to be on with Universal 7 Radio. It's in Providence, Rhode Island. I helped a gentleman find the station. We got him a time slot. You know, I basically helped him get settled in. And I get paid to do that. Every time he pays, because it's paid radio. So he pays every 3 months. I take my fee, and I give the radio station their fee. Now, what's so interesting is this gentleman has been my client, for lack of a better, I don't know what, you know, a client, for the last 2 years. And what was interesting was today, he basically sent me an email saying, you know, he couldn't afford, the show was bankrupting him, and he didn't know how long he'd be able to do it, and it was his passion to do the show. I mean, it was such a heartfelt email. Now, this is a guy who basically, he runs his own board, what they call his soundboard. He does a musical show, Country Gospel. That's the name of his show. And, you know, he's church-oriented, and he plays gospel music, but it's country gospel music. And, you know, hey, you know, namaste, more power to him. But what was so interesting is, you know, this whole situation is about finances. So, you know, I don't know how many people know. At the moment, I have, you know, a couple of nanny gigs that are, you know, basically using me like once a week. and I had, you know, my brokering from the radio show that I got a check every 3 months. Now, there's a good chance that that's going away. I've actually given him a significant discount. Because when he told me that, you know, the way he wrote about the radio is his passion, it so hit me that, you know, okay, listen, you know, part of the reason why he can't afford it is because the money I'm making is significant. And I was like, so now, you know, I was like, am I going to be like, you know, these bankers that I'm hearing all about and the Rockefellers? And I get it. You know, I am not even close to having the type of money that these people who are greedy have. But if you listen to the show on Monday night, greed and abundance have nothing to do with the amount of money that is actually being exchanged. Greed and abundance are feelings, our experiences. And I was like, well, listen, I cut my take in half. And I basically, I asked the radio station, I was like, do you want to share some of the cut with me? And the radio station was like, no. And I was like, okay, you know, that's fine. I cut my take in half. And I don't know if this is going to help the gentleman or not. You know, he hasn't gotten back to me. But one of the things, you know, I was like, you know, there is some very interesting energies around me right now. And they're around me from a financial point of view. They're around me from a financial leaving me point of view. I mean, like, I tried to get a nanny job. There were, like, three different nanny gigs that I put a lot of energy into. And I basically got to the front door for the interview. And they called me and said, we're not interested, you know, or we found somebody else, or things just didn't work out and we're not, you know, whatever. And I'm like going, okay, it's my money's not coming in from the nanny gigs, not a couple of hundred a week, which is what I'm looking for. And, you know, now my radio thing is potentially getting cut off as well. And I'm going, you know, like, well, what is going on here from a financial point of view? And here's basically what I get. And this is definitely what the Infinite Trust shares with me. There's a lot that can come my way, but you know when they say a caterpillar, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever read the Eric Carle book, The Hungry Caterpillar. It's a great children's book. And if you've read it, you know that basically the caterpillar starts off as a little caterpillar, and throughout 1 week it eats, you know, two strawberries, three plums, four oranges, until it gets up to Saturday. And then when it gets to Saturday, it eats, you know, a pie, a lollipop, a piece of cake, salami, cheese, you know, all these crazy foods. And it's getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And then on Sunday, the last day, it eats a lot of green leaves to make its tummy feel better. Then it basically wraps itself in a cocoon, and it comes out as a butterfly. Now, last night when I was at Sahana and Anya's house, Sahana brings me the book, The Hungry Caterpillar. Now, Sahana's at an age where she likes her books not to be like these simple picture books. She wants me to read more like the Barbie stories and the princess and the Tinkerbell stories. You know, there's more bulk to the books. And I was like, Hungry Caterpillar? And Sahana looked at me and she was like, I want you to read this to me. And I went, okay. And it hit me like last night and today. It's like, I'm the Hungry Caterpillar. And everything that is not going to turn into butterfly is getting removed. I mean, it's like, okay, I've removed any relationships that aren't in alignment with me. I'm removing the ability to analyze and figure things out through the mind. Now I'm even removing, and believe me, I didn't think this was going to happen, but well, you know, never think, where my money comes from. You know, it's like everything just seems to me to be like, first of all, I mean, I am definitely, I'm getting fat. Oh, yes, Goldie is getting fat. You know, and it was funny because I was telling somebody this tonight. I think it maybe it was Art or I don't know who it was. It was somebody that I was like, you know, when I look at my body, I look pregnant, yet it's clear to me, you know, I'm not pregnant with child. I don't have a child in me. But after I read the Hungry Caterpillar book, I realized, oh, but caterpillars eat food to get fat to prepare themselves to morph into butterflies. And for the first time it hit me, it's like, you know, like I know there's a part of me that knows I'm going to go through this fifth dimensional portal, you know, all the beautiful things that, you know, we share with the George Kavassalis material. That is my belief, but, you know, I don't have that belief totally where I never sway into doubt. I do have my doubts, but what's so interesting is, like, when things like this happen, I start just looking at life going, well, why did Sahana bring me this book, you know, I didn't, you know, it was like one of those, I just can't deny that, you know, it was like her soul talking to my soul going, you need to read this to me. But it was really, Goldie, remember, you're the caterpillar. You know, that's literally what was being shared with me last night. Like, you know, it's hard to explain, but when you're working in the subtle, which is what the soul is all about, the messages come from billboards and books flying open to pages and little kids asking you to read a book and, you know, the sensations and the feelings that you get. It's like, the perfect way to explain this is when my car got totaled, it was a hit and run in front of my house. You know, my soul basically at 6:30 in the morning literally was like, get up and get on your computer. And this was a time when I still kind of argued with my soul. It's like, no, I'm sleeping. And my soul kind of continued to shake me, so to speak, metaphorically. Get up, get up, get up. And when I finally got up, I saw the car get totaled. Now, again, once I run outside, I come back in, I call the cops. We set the report up. You know, the cops are on the case. I'm now sitting on my front yard wall. The cops have already come and gone, taking the report. I'm staring at my car that's just now just totaled. And my first instinct is I am going to go up and down every house on the street, command and demand that they open their garage doors, because I'm going to check out every car in their garage to see the car. You know, I'm looking for the car that hit mine. Now, clearly, you know, this is a reaction. I'm pissed. And basically what ended up happening is I said, no, no, no. Why don't you try and do this through your spiritual beliefs? My spiritual belief is the law of attraction says, I know I saw the person do it. The person who did it is going to be afraid that they're going to get caught. So I'm going to connect with the person who did it, not by, you know, harassing the 27 people up my road. I'm going to find this person and connect with them by the law of attraction. I'm not going to waver in my thought. I know I'm going to catch them. And the person in their fear is going to go, I hope I don't get caught. And the Abraham Hicks work taught me that if you're afraid of something, you're still attracting it to you. So if this woman, it was a woman that did it, if this woman had the state of mind to go, I'm at peace with this and have no fear, this might not have worked. But I was banking on the fact that whoever hit my car was somewhere on the planet scared shitless they were going to get caught, and I was going to totally dominate the energy of, I know you're going to get caught, without me doing a single thing in the physical world. And 2 days later, a cop that wasn't even assigned the case came and said, get in the car. The car is up the street. I want you to identify it. Now, so I understand that doubt is definitely the cancer. It is the cancer, and I'm doing my best not to go into doubt about my finances right now, because everything is leading the way, saying to me, either A, I'm going through a fifth dimensional portal, and the beautiful part about that is, in a fifth dimensional portal, I won't need to eat. I'll be completely in my light body. I won't even need shelter. I will literally be radiating like Jesus, you know. I know that sounds crazy, but that's kind of my visual of it, you know, like this radiance from me. And then it won't matter, you know, if I make a couple hundred dollars a week, you know, that supports my lifestyle. So this is my goal. This is where I've been thriving to be. Everything in my world is pointing to my reality, saying this is coming. So, you know, I'm choosing to infinitely trust this. And when I sway into doubt, you know, I have to accept that. But I quickly find myself trusting again. Like, you know, I called Janine and she supported me. I called Polar Bear, he supported me. Art called me. He was listening to Janis Joplin, and he goes, you know, I just got the feeling I should call you. And he was listening to the song, you know, that said, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And I was like, wow. You know, like, there was a total, you know, a total telepathic connection. Because that's when I posted on Facebook that, you know, boy, the family that loves me unconditionally. I immediately told my father what the situation was with the radio guy and said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make rent next month. And he went, okay, so don't worry about it. You know, just keep looking for a job and, you know, keep trying. You know, and that's his world. And I was like, okay. I mean, in other words, I'm totally supported. I'm not being thrown out. And I'm actually, you know, moving towards my goals. It's just a matter of allowing this incredible experience to be what actually is going on for me. You know, allowing my beliefs to say, yeah, Goldie, you're becoming a fifth-dimensional being, so, you know, you're letting go of everything that's caterpillar. See, the caterpillar is the third-dimensional me. The butterfly is the fifth-dimensional me. You know, and you know, I know people can say, well, that just, you know, like, if you can help me explain to them that this is not a denial of what is. This is a manifestation. It's just a matter of me now embracing that my dreams are coming to fruition. You know what I'm saying? Because I know sometimes people say, oh, everything's fine, and you can sense that they haven't done the work. Yeah. If, you know, it's like one of the things I was saying to Janine earlier today was, you know, when she was like, you know, saying, you're going to be okay, you're going to be okay. From Janine, I trust that because Janine has the energy that tells me she's done some shadow processing, and not, you know, not some, a lot, because yeah. I can feel it in her experience that she is not one of these, you know, white lighters that are just all about, you know, let you know, only talk to me about what's good and unconditional love and la 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 la. You know, it's like, you know, have your nose been in shit lately? Until your nose has been smelling it, don't tell me everything's going to be good unless you understand the qualities of the integration of that which scares us. Because that's what I'm realizing. Nothing's really bad. It's just about this, like, I don't want to call it a test because I don't believe it's a test, but it's a releasing of that which fears us.
Yeah.
That we have to integrate. And how can I go fifth dimensional if I still have a reliance on money? I mean, that's...
Yeah,
I can utilize money. I can't rely on it, though.
Right. But and I just think that one of the noticings of... I mean, so many things, but one of the noticings is that this is about the subtle. This is about the synchronicity that has been arising almost daily. You know, these are the things, these are sort of these initiations of the willingness to expose and not be in denial of your doubt, because, you know, that's an important piece, like to really own it. And then,
yeah.
And then what I've noticed, the resource, you know, that it's not that doubt's a problem. It's just having the courage to expose yourself and go, I'm feeling, you know, this unrest. I'm uneasy. My boat's been rocked. I need to process, figure out. But what I see happening is that we're in a place where things are unfolding in a way that maybe, like you said, your dream coming to fruition. But the funny thing is the dream comes to fruition possibly in a way that we didn't picture it to come into fruition, but in this...
Right on. I think not even possibly. I think it... I don't think it ever comes the way we think it's going to come.
But
that's why we can't prepare for it.
But this is even better than that, because what's amazing is is that this is about an unfolding of spontaneous and synchronistic occurrences that you can't predict these things. It is an absolute trust. You have to do your part. You have to be proactive. But it's going to unfold in a way that is not predictable to you or to me, but you can trust that it's unfolding. And what's so amazing to me is even Monday night when we spoke and I said to you, Goldie, when you said to me, there's a number one that's important for me and there's a number two that's important for me, and the number two is what struck me so much, and it was what has heart, what touches your heart. And then we figured out that your number one was ascension, and I said,
right.
Yes, but why number two was so memorable is because when you're in a place of heart and following that, you don't even... Ascension, that's where you need to be for ascension, but that's where you are, that's where I am, and that's where when we get, you know, in our doubt place, we remind ourselves of courage, because courage is really what moves us even in a place of fear, and we're following heart, and it's kind of like I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, and this is like walking in new territory, just because we were going with something, but we didn't know what.
Right.
And I'm literally going, this is amazing, because the subtle is what's constantly happening. Like when I saw the bluebird,
yeah.
And you know, and then. Yeah, and then someone dreamt of a bluebird, and then they called me, and then we were, it was uncanny. And I'm going, this is amazing. And these are the things that occur when you're willing to be vulnerable, when you're willing to reveal your yourself, your, you know, your scared parts, your shadow, your, this is what I'm feeling, you know, I have a little shame around. You know, that's why it's really cool to, like, scan and go, or even like for anyone listening or myself, it may not surface now, but it might tonight in a dream, or it might tomorrow, or it might in a week, where you'll go, oh yeah, and then you'll feel a little like, ooh, I just got rattled, and you go, oh, okay, and then you just say, it's okay. That came up for a reason, so you can get rid of it, you know, because you don't want to hold on to it. Yeah, so,
right.
You know, I'm just sitting here going, this is really incredible that all this is being validated, the subtle, the synchronicity.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, for instance, when I do things over these periods of weeks, like my week may be open and you go, oh, I wonder what that week is going to be. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's like a school calls me or another school calls me or, you know, a book, someone wants me to talk. But I wouldn't have known it like 3 weeks ago, but it's just this beautiful unfolding of like, oh, okay. But it's not like I haven't done my part. It's not like I haven't created a foundation.
Yeah,
it's not like you haven't been working on yourself for years.
Because sometimes it's hard for me to explain that part in the sense of, because, you know, a lot of the things I say sound like the white lighters. You know?
it's proactiveness with, you know, yourself. And when you and I love this statement, and it's not mine. I read it. I could find it somewhere and post it on Facebook or something. But energy follows action. So when you take action, even if it's small, you know, revealing something to me and saying, and then the small part is that's not that small, but then coming on a radio show and revealing it is bigger. But you taking that action, energy follows that. And you can count on that. And if you want, appropriately, I'll say you can take that to the bank.
So, you know, I think it's so funny that you're saying this because I have seen, you know, we even talked about this, I believe it was Monday night, right? That it might have been a couple of weeks ago. How when you, it was a couple of weeks ago because it was when Susan called in. How speaking on the air really does, on some level, hasten the period of, like, I remember being on the air in Rhode Island and talking about, you know, I can handle my shadow side. I don't know, something about relationships or something. And, you know, of course, inevitably that, you know, can you handle, you know, your partner Greg betraying you? You know, like, listen to you talk. Because, you know, I a lot of us say things in you know, in light of, like, we'll read a process. You know, you'll read it from somebody's book or, you know, or a channeling. And like, oh, yeah. You know, how many of us say, oh, yeah, I know that. Well, there's something about when you say it on the air, it literally creates the experience. Okay, if you know it, well, now live it.
Yeah.
And I promise you, living and knowing are two different things. I mean, there is a different level of knowing when you're living it, a very different level of knowing. And what I'm starting to actually, what's the word I want to foresee?
Mm-hmm.
Almost, is that this time it's actually, I mean, you're absolutely right. I am creating bank. because you know, it's not like I was intending that. I was just intending that I keep saying I'm living a transparent life, and I could feel myself being not transparent about finances. And I didn't want that anymore. It's like I want to be transparent, you know, without actually, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, create an IRS situation here. You know, I mean, I'm, but on the same note, you know, I'm kind of revealing my truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, because I admit there's still fear around this for me, but I mean, I also go, well, Jesus, you know, is it, I owe nothing. What's the IRS going
going to do to me? I don't have a job. It reminds me of when I went bankrupt. You know, they were, you go to this court. I never knew going bankrupt had, you had to be approved to go bankrupt. I didn't know that because I've never gone bankrupt before I went bankrupt. And, you know, the judge kind of looked at me and went, okay, well, you know, you've got $50,000 worth of credit card bills. How did you plan on paying them back? And I was like, well, with more credit cards, of course. And he was like, well, what the hell does that mean? And it's like, well, that, you guys kept sending me cards. I kept turning them into cash. That, and, you know, you could see he was like kind of scratching his head going, oh, you're just an anomaly. And it was like, you know, and truth be told, you know, I was an anomaly to the system, you know, in the sense of, for me, the bankruptcy, which is another, I did that consciously. I mean, I never intended to pay that money back.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was, because my whole gig was basically, I mean, boy, did this flip my father out. Because another, you know, phrase or philosophy coined by my father is credit was next to godliness. Good credit was next to godliness. You know, he had, it was all about, you have to have good credit. You have to have good credit. And the truth is, I did have good credit until I chose to go bankrupt. Because I'm not a spender that spends, you know, I don't just spend money, you know, crazy like. I mean, I have lived under the poverty level of finances for several years. And those who know me also know, you know, I mean, you don't look at me or sense from my energy a poverty-stricken person. I just simply don't require a lot of money because money is not where I get my satisfaction from. I get it from, you know, going within. I get it from being, you know, with my friends. Like, you know, my cell phone got, you know, my friend paid for a cell phone for 3.5 years for me. When he stopped paying, well, no more cell phone. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, I didn't, you know, beg, borrow, and steal to get the cell phone. Okay, that gig is up for me. I'm cool with that. I mean, and I'm just saying these things, you know, I'm not trying to defend myself, just to let people know that I think this has a lot to do with being authentic.
And I think it's a lot of people's issues. And I think, you know, I do think that transparency is liberating. I also think it's energy shifting. You know, I also think that, you know, it's not like you couldn't, you know, there may be a time down the road where a cell phone will be really useful for you and there'll be money.
And the money will be there to support it.
And the money will be there to support it. So I just think
that
those are, that's down the road. And, but I do think this is, in some ways, like, important preliminary work or
is the caterpillar butterfly, right? I mean, I'm basically exactly.
Yeah.
You can't take a lot with you in that cocoon when the metamorphosis process is going to happen because the only thing that survives from the caterpillar is that which is applicable to the butterfly. Everything else literally goes into a chemical mush.
Yeah. And I just think this is also a lot of people's, you know, issues.
I agree.
Because it is. I mean, because everybody's feeling pressure and, you know, I think it's really important. You're like, you know, it's really nice. Oh, I'm not the only one or listen to Golden Hawk. She's talking about this and I'm feeling the same way or I have those same issues or I remember when I felt this way and I still haven't resolved it or, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, now's a good time.
If not now, when? Well, because, you know, one of the things I'm realizing, if you want to live a soul-filled life, you're going to find that you got to let go of the things that aren't soul-filled. And a lot of it is, and it what you're letting go of is the attachment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily, like, you let go of money, but it's not that you can't have money in your life. You just can't be attached that in order to be who you are, you have to have it. No, you know, because truth be told, the soul, you can't buy your soul. You can't buy your awareness to your soul. And often what happens is if you don't have money to go run around and do all the distractions, you know, like with me, I don't have the money, but so I go to the woods. It doesn't cost a lot of money to go to the woods, you know. I mean, you might do things that are actually more soul inspired because you don't have the money to go, you know, to a mall or to a bar or, you know, in other words, the places we go to get distracted.
Oh, yeah, the restructuring of your life to be a more natural life and a less expensive life is actually a great thing. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think to also hear, like, what just came in was that, you know, we were talking about on Monday and about sufficiency and insufficiency and, you know, when you move into a place of insufficiency, you know, it's really uncomfortable and it does feel like all the gates go down and it's like, oh, God. And I think another big piece for people and is the self-critic. And when we can really kind of make peace with the self-critic, what's amazing is we kind of really stop being critics of others. I mean, we just, it's just,
Yeah, definitely.
We just don't get rocked. You know, you realize people have processes and it's their process, but it doesn't get us as much. And, you know, but that's
agreed.
The only way that we don't find ourselves being as critical of others is because we start working on our own self-critic. And I think that because
the thing, you know, I learned that a long time ago, you know, well, maybe not so long ago, but I wanted to heal the world because I didn't want to look at my own stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I'll heal you. Just keep out of my work. Don't get in my world. But I'm happy to point out what's wrong in your world. Oh, definitely.
Exactly. And when you start taking responsibility for yourself, then you're really doing the world a favor.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. Hey, listen, I want people to know, too, if anybody wants to get on and share something right now, 646-929-2084. There's a caller on there now. If you want to join the conversation, press 1. So I know that you want to join on your cell phone or on your phone.
Or if
know,
anyone
I'm
wants
to
yeah, yeah. If ahead. Anyone wants to set an intention, you know that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
It really is powerful energy when you do it on a radio show. I mean, and again, what I'm learning, you know, this does not have to be about bragging about how, you know, you've got the dark shadows conquered. It's also the positive, you know, set an intention and, you know, literally, it's like the potency of the intention strengthens because you're on the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and one intention, a simple intention, if you know, is I am willing. And, you know, and from that, you don't even have to think of a very detailed intention, you know. Or you can. I mean, it's
no, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just want to, you know, I don't. My show is basically what always the second hour. Everybody's always welcome to call in. You know, I tend to like to, you know, the first hour kind of establish topic, and then the second hour, you know, share and whoever wants to call in. So.
Okay, so I love the metaphor or the story of the hungry butterfly, the hungry caterpillar.
Caterpillar,
because,
yeah.
I was telling Goldie that I was watching Alice in Wonderland, the new version, and once again, great storytelling. There was a big caterpillar that smoked. That was really her friend, Alice's friend in the underworld or the wonder world. It had two names.
Wonder and under.
Wonder world and underworld, and he was cocooning himself at the very end when she was still in the underworld and she was about to conquer this big monster that only she could conquer, which is great. And so he cocooned himself completely by the time she was ready to leave the underworld or the wonder world. And she comes back up to her reality world and she tells everybody, what she needs to say in her own truth-telling and sort of lays out these great new boundaries and how she's not going to be told what to do and pushed around anymore. And she goes off on a great adventure, and as she's standing on the bow of the boat, a beautiful blue butterfly flies up and lands on her shoulder. And to me, that was so incredible because this creature was from her, quote, kind of imaginary realm or her underworld. And he actually came through and then was in this world. And I think that that's so beautiful to me because I think that's what the subtle is like. The subtle is, it seems as if it's coming from another world or otherworldly or underworld or, you know, because it is awe-inspiring when these subtleties happen, but they are wherever they're coming from, maybe it's the mystery or the creative forces or something, but they are definitely like guiding. And if
yes.
you catch them, if you catch
yes.
them, you're, it, yeah, and that's where I'm noticing even more that, you know, they're just there and I'm following them and you're following them. And
you
know,
it's almost like I have no choice to follow them because everything else is getting taken away.
Well, that's yes.
I just wanted to share that. I mean, yeah.
But I don't know if anybody.
When all distractions are gone, the only thing left is the subtle.
Well, that's exactly right. But you know, when say, you know, my marriage ended and what was an identity of myself no longer existed, I was. You know, I was sort of stripped of an identity I thought I was, and in that taking away, like a new being or merged, you know, and once
yeah.
again, like the butterfly. So, yeah, there's always a taking away, but then
yeah.
there's a new, you know, and
yes.
Yeah, and you know,
and you really do learn to trust that the more it I mean, you know, the car got totaled.
Yeah.
But truth be told, when all was said and done and the girl paid for, you know, her insurance paid for my car and there was some money left over, it was about $1,500. It bought all my first radio equipment, my microphones and this little thing that I use for remotes. You know, I mean, it's like, so I had a car and my radio equipment. You know, it's like,
that's so great.
It really is, you know, and I was, you know, because I have that sense right now that, you know, okay, we're in the taking away stage, but when you go through this enough times, you really do get a sense of, well, something else is coming, because it's the law. You know what I mean? It's the way the universe works. It's not because, you know, I'm special in some. No, this happens to everybody.
No,
who's willing.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're yeah.
No, and I have a good story for that one. When I was my marriage was ending and it was awful. You know, it just felt like I was being ripped out of who I thought I was, and I was scared. And but anyway, I started painting these paintings, and they turned out to be incredible in that when someone wanted to give me a show, they said, they heard, you know, oh, she just got divorced and she's painting these paintings, and he came in and he goes, oh my God, they're so happy and they're so colorful and they're so full of, you know, magic, and he goes, I thought they were going to be depressing.
And, not everybody responds like, who's the guy who ripped his ear off?
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. Not everybody responds like Van Gogh.
Well, he might have been drinking a little too much of that blue, that absinthe, that blue absinthe. You know, that great alcohol. You know, it's oh God, is it wormwood or something? Yeah, it's that blue absinthe. I think he was quite, you know, drinking a lot of that. But anyway,
yeah, I think he was going through clearly a lot of pain.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
his pictures got very dark towards the end.
But you know,
still brilliant, but
yeah,
dark.
but you know, out of some really dark, difficult, sad, hurtful, you know, place, I don't know. I just broke
you
through.
You became lighter.
You became
lighter. That's what I find. Because, see, once you get in alignment with the process of, if your intention really is to ascend, well, you got to get lighter. And if you're going to get lighter, you're going to experience the heavy parts of you leaving.
Yeah.
That it's because there's no magical, you know, as much as, you know, I know the red and the green pill or whatever, the red and the blue pill from the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, that can make the choice for you, but still, nonetheless, the processing is, in order to get rid of the darkness, you're going to have to feel it to get rid of it. And
right.
Once you know that, you really kind of start looking and going, you know, okay, well, let's get this movie grooving. You know what I mean? It's like, because the more you're releasing, the more you're feeling bad actually turns into the lighter you feel.
Well, and we've talked about this before.
What you were painting.
Right.
You
know? We've talked about this before. When you allow yourself to feel the discomfort and you ride that wave of discomfort, you could stay with it and stay with it and not push it away and not run away from it and not you know, pretend it's not there. On the other side of that are gifts. And,
yeah.
You know, I stayed with the discomfort, but I painted through it and I painted through it. And these paintings, I don't know. I still to this day go, I don't know. They just came out of me, but it was, I don't know. I just stayed.
Magical.
Yeah.
Magical.
Well, and
I listen.
That unexplainable subtle. Was someone on the line?
Yes.
Oh.
And they're pushing the button, they're repushing the button, and I...
Okay.
All right, 407, come join us. I don't know who this is. Come join us. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, wow, this is serious. I'm on the air.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? Goldie and Janine, you guys are absolutely beautiful. I mean, this conversation has been completely enlightening and inspiring so far.
Thank you.
Thank
so,
you very much.
I mean,
what's
I really
your name?
Don't know
just your first
what,
name. What's
Kevin,
your social
sorry.
Security number? No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I don't really care about those numbers anyway. Take them. But Kevin is up.
You've come to the right conversation. I'm sorry. What was your name?
Kevin.
Cool.
Hi.
Cool. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you, guys. Well, you know, there's a lot to say. I mean, I really don't know. There are a lot of comments, but and I had some while I was on the line a little earlier. I've been listening to it for a little while now. And, I was first introduced by you through the Joyce Kabat-Bliss show. And that was absolutely, man, I don't even know how to comment on that. It was just amazing.
Thank you.
But, really, I don't know
it's
what else
to say. It's what brought me here. You know what? The truth is, it's what brought me to this space. You know what I mean? It really is starting to just become clear to me. Just be transparent. You know, truly, the time is, the frequency is to be transparent because I don't know if you're on Facebook, but there's this thing going around by George Orwell that basically says, you know, in a time when, you know, everything being told is being told in deception, being truthful is revolutionary.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, wow, Jesus, is that all
yeah.
it takes to be revolutionary? You know, like,
yeah.
Hey, I think I can do that. So,
yeah.
Namaste. I didn't mean to cut you off. Talk.
No, cool. No problem. I mean... Everything you're saying again is just powerful, but I mean, there was a comment earlier I was gonna say about the finances because you guys were going into these worries that people have with money and whatnot, and I've experienced my own kind of worry about that. Even though I'm not really worrying about bills because I'm still living with my parents here. I'm 18. I my class graduated a while back, but that's a whole other story. I didn't get to finish high school because of my spiritual situation, but. On the monetary stuff, I started to the way that I found ease in that was realizing that it's you the entire time that's creating the struggle within yourself.
Mm.
And what's great is that it's you can start to smile and laugh in all those situations where you see the struggle within you, because you know that in those times your soul's just trying to work with that. So it's just basically you can find in any of those moments of stress and deep negativity within yourself, you can find that space to laugh. Because you know that there's just natural evolution occurring within you, you know. So
that's
what's
great.
Just beautiful. That's what's been happening with me. That's the awareness that's been coming. Is just it's being able to laugh at every kind of expression of life, and basically looking upon even the murderer and the saint just with absolute equal eyes.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's what we're really all trying to do is express that unconditional gaze, that unconditional love,
yeah.
And. It's difficult, but I know we're doing it, you know.
And we really are. We
yeah.
really are. I mean, indeed. And I see, what's so interesting is the people that are able to do what you just said, you can feel it in their energy if they're genuinely doing it. You know what I'm saying? Not talking unconditional love and yet getting out on the roads or whatever or what wherever it happens where the judgment starts coming up where, you know, light judging, you know, dark as being bad and, you know, all sorts of other bullshit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But genuinely going, listen, all of this has purpose. All of this has value. And we're coming to a place where we're getting squeezed to the size of a pinhole. So it's all going to be, you know, we're really close to our dark, our light, our comfort, our uncomfort. You know, all of it, we're getting squeezed into it. So if you're going to be squeezed, clearly laughter is a lubrication. Definitely.
And also, unconditional
love, because guess what? There is you are me are you. We're all getting squeezed into one point. That means, you know, inevitably there's a blend that is all of us. We're all blending with everything. So you can't run away from it. It's the physics won't allow that. You have to own it. You can't run from it.
Yeah, and I heard George. He said, and I wrote it down because I think it's what you're saying, Kevin, too, that to be careful not to get caught in the drama vortexes. Like, you know, like there's so much going on where you can get caught in all these emotions of things. And, you know, I thought that was a great reminder. And I was saying to Goldie today even about it's just like, okay, so wherever you are, you know, you're trying to hold center. Just, you know, don't go, you know, off into this, you know, one extreme or the other, inflation or deflation, and we've talked about that. And I think that when we watch how these things out in the world are unfolding, it's very easy to get caught in drama vortexes. And I think that's such a distraction, and it's a waste of time, and it's not, you know, it's just pointless, and it's actually probably, you know, harming rather than healing. So, yeah, so that's just what I got from you, Kevin.
I understand it completely, and I think if I could add a point here, it's the whole when you're talking about getting caught in the drama vortex, it's I think one of the key things for us to remember is to understand that if we have that sense of effort, that sense of strain, that we have to try so hard to get away from this, that's kind of feeding that ego and almost driving us deeper into that rabbit hole, if you want to call it, of traps and concepts. So I think that if we kind of loosen up and just understand that, well, there is no effort involved in being, then we can, you just easily climb out and basically convert that. I mean, you'll see that everything around you is just light in the first place, and there's no, that drama vortex never really existed. So that's what I mean with the whole letting go of that concept of I have to try, or let's try to get
in. Right.
Rather, let's just be. Let's just be, and that's it.
Well, and I'll tell you, boy, that mental gaming, that is one tough addiction. And I mean, I speak of that from somebody who has been trying to ascend for 16 years. I mean,
all right.
You know, because God damn it, I don't want to do this third dimension anymore. And it's so funny, you know, because if this is indeed my last lifetime, which I believe it is, it makes sense that, you know, there's because on some levels, it is the darkest lifetime I've ever accepted. You know, I've accepted it both points of view, the light and the dark. And it's just, I don't know how to quite describe it. But to be, it's so much easier in a polarized experience to be one or the other. You know, it's so much easier to point the finger at the other side. Because I know I'm good at being dark. I really do. It's actually been the light for me that has been hard to integrate, but it's the light part of me that has to accept that I'm dark, and that's why it's been hard for me to integrate the light. It's like, well, you know, listen, I was a drug dealer. I've done a lot of things in the dark, and I was very comfortable being there. Hey, who cares? I make my money. I'm doing my gig. I'm happy. Oh, now you want me to be a spiritual person, and I can't, you know, my finances shit the bed. I can't seem to support myself. You know, it's like, what is going on? That, you know, why is the light so difficult and the dark so easy? You know, there's still confusion for me in this arena. But I do recognize that at least, you know, I'm owning it. Talking about what I talked about tonight was just so huge for me because you know, I didn't want anybody to know that, you know, that I failed, to be quite honest. And George, you know, George kept that video up about, you know, his 2004 talk with the Galactic Federation of Light. And it was because of that that I trusted the other things he said. And I was like, wow, that, you know, that just doesn't apply to the goose. That applies to all things. You know, it's like, really, there is incredible integrity in owning a mistake. Incredible integrity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's starting to become clear to me on some level that the things that used to have power, like money and people being a size one and religions, in the great transparency that's taking place on the planet, those things are clearly taking a back seat, and the front seat forerunners are integrity, compassion, understanding, forgiveness. You know, it's like it really is the changing of the guard is no longer, you know, the powers that were are not what is coming in to be the powers that be. It's a very different energetic scenario, and, you know,
well, good. It's finally, I mean, it's proof is actually really emerging that when all these spiritual teachings say that this the loving thought is just way more powerful than a negative thought. I mean, it's actually starting to really become apparent in our world today,
right,
with this Occupy Wall Street movement. I mean, we can see. And it's actually so inspiring, this Occupy Wall Street movement, because, and it's obviously more than just Wall Street now, but it's basically Occupy, the powers that were, Occupy this new world order, and basically turn it into the light order, if you want to call it that. But
well, the power of the people. That's really, it's becoming the power of the people instead of the power of the elite. You know,
exactly.
The 99% are realizing they have power.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
The George Orwell comment, you know?
Yes, the
truth is revolutionary. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
great. And the biggest thing that's happening is we're unifying. You know, instead of all of us striving to be in the 1%, we're all accepting ourselves, you know, fat, happy, and, you know, and everything else, going, oh, if we would just unite as the 99, you know, well, perhaps we can start, you know, reflecting the things that are important to us instead of trying to live up to the 1%, which barely applies to any of us.
Hmm. Are you there, Kevin?
Yeah.
Was that a profound moment? We just had a profound moment.
No, I mean, it's just, it's complete truth what's coming out here. I mean, people are seeing that this greed is not working anymore. It's just not working, they're finally realizing. It took a little while, but we're all finally seeing that, oh, wait, greed doesn't work. Okay,
well,
all right, let's
trust
you. Well,
it's not just greed, though. Greed is one piece of it because, I mean, I say this from my own experience and issues. Beauty is another thing that, I mean, I have a real issue with, you know, beauty being a size one. I have a big issue with that because beauty is a state of being. It is not a size. And it's not a color of your hair, and it's not, you know what I mean? Like, I say this only because from the female point of view, God, have they twisted and perverted beauty where women are starving themselves and then putting in fake implants to have breasts. You know, if you would eat, you would have breasts. I mean, it's as simple as that. But your belly would be as big as your, you know, in proportion to your breasts. So, oh, starve yourselves and put in silicone. That whole structure is like, you know, that's just distorted. And the reason why I say this is it's just still, there's issues for me. You know, there's parts of me that are kind of calling me to go into the whole video world, you know, like doing the Skypes and webcams.
Okay.
But I'm not, you know, I'm like, oh, let's still do radio. But I'm starting to, you know, in my transparency, I'm at least talking about it because if I talk about it, well, God bless, something will come up that will, you know, show up in my world that I'll have to face that too. And I'm kosher with that. I want to challenge my soul. Bring on the opportunities that challenge me. I don't want to be small anymore. Bring it on.
I say the same thing. Yeah, bring it on. I need this.
Yeah,
I need this.
Exactly.
Really easy for me. I can't complain at this moment. It's this spiritual journey so far this lifetime has been very, very smooth. I mean, there are some very deep fears that I still have to overcome, because I'm really trying to truly understand duality and try to understand the mechanics of it and how it operates through the ego. Because it relates exactly what you're saying about the beauty thing. It all comes from our perception of duality and thinking that that's it. That's the final thing. That there's nothing beyond that duality. You know.
Yeah.
But I think we're all really seeing it, especially you and all of us. We're really starting to see that there is that infinite space that enables this duality to exist in the first place.
Yeah. Yes. What's behind? Because, you know, another thing that George brings up so beautifully is to understand that it's by design that duality is doing everything it's doing. That's design. You know, we designed that we were going to, you know, we contracted the dark beings to challenge us. That's, in other words, that's a design. So if that's by design, awakening is by design as well. We wouldn't just design ourselves to go into a space without having a written somewhere where we're going to come out of it. That's impossible. You know what I mean? There's no physics to that. What goes in is coming out. I mean, it's as simple as that. So that's partially what helps me kind of relax and go, listen, Goldie, you kind of set this all up. You know, relax. It's a little scary. You know, have your conversations with Janine and Art and Kevin and the radio show. And no, you know, because I'm excited because at some point we're going to have another show and we're going to be talking about me paying off my investors. I just kind of like, because I've set it up to do this. You know, I put it out on the air. What I was so afraid to talk about, just so afraid of you guys hearing my poor judgment. I was so afraid of that. And I'm not afraid of that right now. And it's unbelievably empowering, mm-hmm. no matter what happens, just to be in this moment to share that. You know, I love that you called. I love that Janine talked with me. You know, you guys, I'm getting choked up. It's just amazing. It really is. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the radio show. You know, it's been great. It's been great. So
yeah, right on.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys as well. I mean, truly, truly.
Yeah. Now you know, October 27th, George is coming back on. So 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll make sure.
Yeah, you gotta tune in. Grab a, you know, get online, ask a question, whatever. Gotta tune in for that.
You know, yeah. I actually plan on going on to Atlanta on the 27th for. I'm planning on doing a spiritual. It's a gathering that I have with a few friends that I met at a conference, and we're going to be at the Indian Edible Mounds in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And we just plan on doing basically a healing meditation for the entire Earth that's supposed to relate to that October 28th date and that time of.
Oh, wow. the Mayan calendar.
So.
Okay, no worries. Catch it on whatchamacallit. Catch it on the archive. Kevin, I'm going to give you a shout out on the 27th that will support your movement. Is there a website?
No. It's a small thing. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
It's only a few people.
Nothing's ever small when it's built through sincere intention. So
I'll just give a
Okay. shout out to you, and believe me, we'll have plenty of to date, my George show has over 2,000 hits, which has blown away every show I've ever done. I mean,
wow.
It's off the hook. It's off the charts. So we'll definitely support you that night in your group So what the intention is to manifest peace?
Healing is basically to ease as much as we can this transition with this Occupy Wall Street and all of this, because it's definitely going to make a huge, huge change with this financial system, this movement. It's already doing it, because many people concentrating on the intention of doing away with these old values, I mean, something's going to happen. So the intention is to just ease that as much as possible, because a lot of people are definitely directing rage towards Wall Street, and we want to ease that. We want them to send more of that forgiveness as opposed to that rage and blame game.
Right on. I totally support that.
Well, have a great event. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Right on.
All right. So thank you guys. Yeah, thank you.
Thank
guys.
You.
You're so
thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you. Call back anytime.
I will, yeah.
All right, sweet.
All right, bye.
All right, take care.
Any peace with you. Bye.
Bye now.
Nice. Very nice.
Nice. Yeah, I love our callers.
That was great.
Yeah, that was definitely cool.
Yeah.
This whole show, man, this is what it's really all about.
Liberation. And I love what George Orwell said. I didn't see that, but...
Yeah, that was going around,
Yeah.
You know how they go, yeah, they have little things that go around. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful things going around on Facebook. There's powerful times we're living in. Powerful, powerful. And I think, part of what I, really want to kind of emphasize.
Yes.
If you're in alignment with the power that's going through, I think all of us.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, because it's not just about facing fears, because, that's kind of like, that's the part that goes in. But when you come out, it's facing fears allows us to live our dreams.
Yeah.
And if you can live a big dream, if you can dream a big dream, you can live a big dream, because...
Yeah,
I'm going to ascend into the fifth dimension. I am going to do that. As crazy or as big or as unattainable as anybody might think that is, I'm going to do that. And yes, I am convincing myself. No, well, I mean, it's like I can feel you thinking that.
No,
really going to do that. You don't have to convince us.
I was saying, just stay with number two. The heart, you can't go wrong. But it's so funny because it was really fun and touching and. Once again, validating to hear and feel Kevin's intention of, wasn't it?
Resonance. I mean, it's just so nice to, to share this kind of information I don't know what everybody's thinking on the show, but I know Kevin's feeling a resonance,
I'll be honest with you. I could feel it too.
And he called in to share it, which is because listen, Polar Bear is one of my investors.
Oh.
I mean, to this day, he's like missed I think one show due to there was a lightning strike or something at his house. I mean, it's what you were saying earlier. It's incredible when we own our stuff, how much people will. Open up into a compassionate space. I what most people think of as humans behaving badly, it's not the human part of us. It's, very much from what I'm understanding, the reptilian part of us. And I'm not saying all reptilians are bad, because I'll give you a perfect example. Eckhart Tolle, in my humble opinion, looks like a lizard. And he's a beautiful reptilian, right?
Right, very.
He's a beautiful. So not all reptilians are bad, but many of the behaviors that we perform that are bad behaviors are reptilian in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so when just left to our own human devices, humans are extraordinary beings. I mean, just extraordinary in their level of forgiveness, their level of compassion, and their level of understanding.
That's right.
You really can't embrace that until you own something that you think is just so terrible, and the people around you totally accept you for who you are. With your blemishes, with your blackheads, with the piece of snot sticking out of your nose, they just accept you for all of it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And it has to be experienced by the accepting of the blemish before you can really know that people will love you anyway. And then there's, of course, the part that it really doesn't matter if anybody accepts you either. I mean, there's also that truth, because I need to say that as well.
Mm.
Because I know some people are like, it's all about if you're accepted by somebody else. And, it's not all about if you're accepted by somebody else. It's all about if you accept you. Because one thing I was telling Janine, I was telling her this a couple of days ago, the less I care what others think about me, the more others seem to care what I think.
I do remember that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean... But you know, I do have a family, an inner circle of family around me that are, they're amazing people. They walk their talk, and I want to give shout-outs to you, Janine, to Albert Polar Bear, to Art, to Dennis. You guys, you know, you're the people I really go to and expose myself, and I'm just loved so genuinely by all of you.
Thank you.
It's a true experience. No, thank you. Thank you, because I think if we have that kind of love around us, it helps us to face, you know, the more unpredictable beings, such as the Facebooks and the people commenting on YouTubes and the radio shows.
Yeah,
you know,
because
you know, great show, Goldie and Janine. That's Albert just wrote that. Polar Bear.
And how about the woman who told you about Susan, too. And also about the totem today, the gold.
Oh, Jennifer Adele.
Yeah,
yeah,
the hawk totem. That was great.
You talking about Nancy? Nancy, who said she was going to listen to the show, who commented on the totem?
Well, her, but also the woman who literally, that's how you heard, that you found out it was, you saw it somewhere that it was the totem,
okay,
right?
Yes. Jennifer Adele is the totem lady.
Yes, and that was really nice timing.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, right? See, that was
right,
another
yeah.
thing. You can't
yeah.
plan those kind of things.
No.
Those are when the subtleties show up that today's totem is a hawk. I mean, okay, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I guess this is a good day to, you know, share some, you know, some courage. Some courage. That's, you know.
Well, let's see. As Anais Nin said, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. And I only know that because of a bluebird that I saw in the woods when I was running. And the woods are free and running's free and I feel great out there. And,
yeah.
You know, you're...
Yeah.
Yeah. So courage is a great thing. And I really love what Kevin said, too, about just being easier with things, like, you know, don't getting so crazy about the struggling, just noticing it. That's, I mean, at least that's what I got from what he was saying.
Yeah. It's not a game of thinking. It's a
game
of being.
Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah. It's almost transcending the game of thinking through being, because it is, you can play the game of thinking, but thinking is going to create the polarity.
Yeah.
Being, there's nothing polarized about being. Being simply trumps thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. This has been amazing. Can you share with everybody, I'm telling you, check out, call Janine, set up an appointment with Janine if you have stuff you want to process.
Thanks.
I don't promote anything unless I experience it, and I highly, highly recommend Janine's work. Highly recommend.
Thank you. Well, you can find out about me and how to contact me and see my art and read about some pretty cool initiation art and transformations on my website, which is www.jlkimmel.com, and that's jlkimmel.com. And thank you so much for that. And and if anyone ever wants to read a really sweet, beautiful, many levels children's book that I also did the art to, it's called The Magic Gown, and it's got a lot in there about all the things we talk about, you know, so thanks
definitely.
For letting me, yeah, and
also you guys should read the book, because we use so much reference to it, especially on the Mystical Mother Earth show.
Yeah,
it's a great book, and you'll understand the references from a deeper space if you read The Magic Gown.
Yeah, and it's many, many levels. It's not just a story for children. It's really
No.
It's really a mystical story of courage.
It's almost like The Wizard of Oz. You know how clearly the symbolism applies to both child and adult. Clearly.
Yeah.
So, exactly. And, okay, so next Thursday we have Reverend Anthony Farmer, who speaks with the elders. And then October 27th, George is coming back, everybody. So remember, for the George, we're going 3 hours again. If you're on the chat room, You should transfer before the end of 2 hours to the telephone to continue to hear the last hour live. If not, when you as soon as the show's over, within 5 minutes, it'll all be archived. So thank you. Thank you, Janine. Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you. This was great.
Thank you.
This
You're
was great.
Amazing, babe. I really appreciate it. I could not have done this without you. Put it this way, I could not have done this with as much grace without you. Truly.
I don't know about that.
I do. I really
well,
do.
Thank you so much. And
yes.
It was wonderful, as always, and always it's completely validating this this incredible unfolding. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank
you,
Golden everybody. Hawk. Oh, you're so welcome, Janine. I love you. I love you all. I
love
you, Susan.
You
I love you, Albert. I love all you guests and Dennis, and I love you, Kevin. Life is good. Life is good, and we will talk to everybody next Monday on the Mystical Mother Earth Show. Have a great week.
And who knows what we'll talk about.
Yeah, who knows what dramas and we'll cure and what integration we'll integrate. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.